So there you have it, New York. I'm Devon, and that's what's hot. Devon Teeks held her smile until she received the all clear, and then sank back into the uncomfortable chair on set. The splashy designer furniture might look fantastic on camera, but it was as comfortable as sitting on a rock. Devon, you said to remind you to leave on time. Devon blinked, her mind drawing blank. Your dinner with Mr. Up-and-Coming President? Her assistant, Tia, said. Your anniversary? Devon stared at the 20-something intern, fresh off the plane from Missouri and starry-eyed, just like Devon had been at the same age when she'd moved to New York City to intern at the station. Of course. Thanks. I'm on my way. She left the host's chair and moved off the dais toward the darkened area behind the cameras leading to the hallway and beyond. The green room was closest to the set, with her dressing room in a more private area toward the rear. Halfway down the hallway, Devon paused to remove one of her ridiculously high heels and sighed when the cold floor tile seeped into her aching foot. Had she really reached the age where she wanted comfort over looks? Didn't that make her old? Giving in with a silent whimper, she removed the other heel and hurried along, reminding herself that it was the price to pay for going barefoot on Carolina Cove's sandy beaches the first 25 years of her life. It wasn't until she moved to New York from the Wilmington, North Carolina area that she realized just how casually she'd dressed. But in a tourist town, on an island no less, even newbie journalists couldn't fight the 90-degree days and humidity of summer in the South. She entered her dressing room and quickly showered off the heavy makeup, then redid her face and changed into the A-line bombshell dress Ted loved. The dress hugged every line and curve but was modest and sophisticated, with a zipper that ran full length down her back that drew attention to her behind, and all the squats she hated but did anyway. Frowning at the shoes she'd chosen to go with the dress, she donned the ankle-strapped platform heels, grateful they lent a little more support to her achy feet. Finally ready, she grabbed her bag and belongings and headed out the door. Ted had asked for her to clear her schedule tonight so they could spend some time together. They'd been working too many hours lately, and the stress they both carried from their jobs had started to intrude on their relationship. They got along great face to face, but when their schedules kept them apart, they wound up bickering over silly things. But seeing as it was their one-year anniversary, tonight would be different. They'd block out the world, set all the stress and issues aside, relax, and be together. Devon donned her oversized sunglasses as she left the building, smiling at her driver as he greeted her, and opened the door of the black town car provided by the network to ensure their on-screen hosts arrived on time. How are you today, Tony? Ah, can't complain, Miss Devon. Things go well for you? Perfectly. They had the same conversation every day, and today was no different, until John Prescott came rushing out of the building calling her name and asking her to wait. Stay or go? Tony asked quickly. Stay, she said with a glance at her watch. She tossed her belongings into the back of the car and turned to see John skid to a halt a foot away. Devon, I'm glad I caught you. We need to talk, John said, breathing heavily from the rush. Whatever it is, it has to wait. I can't tonight. You said that last night. Because you insisted I go to that gala, even though I had to get up at 4 a.m. to fill in on the morning show before taping my own. Your schedule is open this evening. No, it isn't, she said firmly. I have plans. Well, this can't wait, John said. I'm afraid I have bad news. Not now, John. Please. You know your ratings are down, he continued without pause, and the network, they've decided to cancel the show. Today was the last taping. The air left her lungs in a rush, and she gaped at him. What? How is that possible? They can't just... Can't we at least finish the season? John held up his hands. I'm sorry. I'm not happy about it either. But they say we're done, so we're done. Don't bother coming in tomorrow, unless it's to gather your stuff and take it to the morning show, so it'll be there when you start. She blinked at him, certain she'd misheard him. I'm sorry, what? John's ruddy face broke out in a grin, and he chuckled. Congratulations. You got the fill-in position. Natalie officially goes on maternity leave next week, which means you get a week to make getting up before dawn a habit. It's been wonderful working with you. Congratulations. John held out his hand and she shook it, a huff of a laugh leaving her chest before she stepped toward him and gave him a quick hug. Maybe she'd lost the gig she presented daily, but the morning host position would give her time to secure something else. Thank you. It's been wonderful working with you. I've learned so much. Knock 'em dead, kid. And enjoy your week off. A week off? What would she do with a whole week off? She didn't remember having a week off since moving to the city 10 years ago. After all, when you were trying to climb the network's ladder, time off didn't exist. She'd worked her job, filled in on others, volunteered, whatever it took, going above and beyond in order to move up the ranks. Her reputation as being reliable and there, no matter what, had given her ins with the network, she didn't take for granted. But a week. Maybe she and Ted could get away for a few days. Ms. Devon? Everything okay? Tony asked. A laugh rumbled out of her. Yeah, it is. Surprisingly so. I just lost and landed a great position, and today is my anniversary. Well now. Let's get you home so you can celebrate, Tony said. From inside the car, Devon watched John's return to the building, her stomach fluttering with excitement. The ride to her tiny apartment took a ridiculous amount of time, considering the distance. She stared out the window at the crowded streets unseeing, because her mind raced with ideas and plans and things to be done. She had a feeling Ted was going to broach the subject of her moving in with him again tonight, but she'd promised herself from a very young age she would always have a place to go home to, unless there was a wedding ring on her finger. Breakups happened. She'd watched it happen too many times to otherwise smart women who found themselves homeless and surfing friends' couches until they made other arrangements. She wouldn't be one of them. They arrived at her building, and she flashed a smile at the doorman when he opened the car door. Good evening, ma'am. Mr. George arrived 30 minutes ago and is waiting upstairs. Thank you. Devon said goodbye to Tony, and made her way inside the building. The beautiful lobby was decorated in black and white checkerboard tile, polished to a high gleam. The seating area on the right looked elegant yet sturdy, the red leather couch, matching chairs, and dark wood coffee table drawing the eye. Devon bypassed the seating, greeted the ever-present and familiar security guard behind his shiny wooden desk, and punched the elevator button. The large doors opened in an instant. The move to this building had taken place several years ago when she'd finally received a promotion, including a much-needed raise that allowed her to get her own place. While small, the apartment provided security and was more convenient to the network's location. Once the elevator was in motion, she glanced at her reflection in the polished metal and sighed. Even that distorted image looked tired, but when she'd burned the candle at both ends for the last 10 years, how could she not? Maybe a vacation to somewhere tropical was just what she needed to celebrate? Could she convince Ted to leave his office for a few days and go? Ratings for What's Hot had been down for a while. Those in the know didn't watch the show to find out the latest clubs or restaurants or theater. No, social media filled them in. The generations that watched were the oldies, and more apt to be retiring and moving out of the bustling city than clubbing the night away. With any luck, Maybe the host she temporarily replaced on the morning show would decide not to come back to work? Want to spend more time with her newborn? The elevator doors opened, and she made her way down the hall, staring at the patterned carpet beneath her feet. The door was unlocked, and she entered with a chipper hello. She glanced around but didn't see him. "Ted, I have news." "Coming," he called. Seconds later, Theodore Carlton George III appeared from the bathroom, still straightening his tie. Ted smiled as he crossed the room and kissed her on her cheek. "Look at you. My favorite dress. I thought you'd like it." "You know I do. You look amazing, as always. What's this about news? Does this have anything to do with a certain morning news anchor position?" "How did you know?" she asked, her excitement deflating a bit. "I may have heard some rumblings about your show ending and put in a good word for you." "Wait, what?" So she hadn't gotten the position on her own, but because of her relationship with Ted and his political future. "Come on, don't look like that. All that's important is that you got the job, right?" "Yes, but I thought I'd gotten it on my own." "You did," Ted told her. "All I did was make a few calls. You can't be upset with me for that, now can you? Let's celebrate. I'll pop the champagne." She watched as he moved toward the kitchen and forced herself to shrug off her upset. She was very familiar with the red tape surrounding promotions within the network. And unlike others, she had no deep contacts or connections within the company, so she told herself to be grateful Ted had been willing to make the calls on her behalf. "You're right. Thank you for doing whatever you did. I just made it clear you'd be interested, and that it would be a personal favor if they gave you a chance. You did the work, Devon." She had, though the way he'd stated it, he had not only pulled strings but tied them in a knot by connecting it with his political future. She didn't like it, but she also couldn't argue the doing since it was done. "Come on. Don't be upset with me. If I was up for a job and you could say something to help me, wouldn't you do the same?" She would. And when he put it like that, she felt petty being upset by what he'd done for her. "You know I would. You're right. Thank you," she said again. "You're welcome. Now let's celebrate." "Well, if you'd really like to celebrate, I have a few ideas." "What do you have in mind?" "As of today, I have a week's vacation. I thought maybe we could take a trip? Just the two of us to somewhere tropical," she asked hopefully. With his schedule, it would be much more difficult for him to get away, but she hoped to convince him all the same. "Sugar white sand and umbrellas in our drinks? Steel drum music floating in the air." "That sounds fantastic, but you know I can't be away from the city right now. Not with an election coming up in a few months." "I knew you'd say that," she said with a playful pout. "But I had to ask." "One day, sweetheart. And until then, I know of a special way we can celebrate," he said.
"How?"
"Like this," he said, moving toward her and getting down on one knee. "Devon Teeks, will you do me the honor of marrying me?" Raina Jo Teeks watched the online feed of Devon's What's Hot the moment she was able to, and frowned at her daughter's image. Devon looked tired and much too thin. Like any mother, she worried about Devon's health and whether or not New York was actually good for her. She seemed to always be on the go, never resting, rarely calling. "How's one of my favorite nieces?" Adeline asked. Raina Jo glanced at her twin, frown still in place. "She looks exhausted." "Lots to do in that city," Adeline said in a distracted tone. Her 63-year-old sister put the finishing touches on a sample display board. She noted the masculine colors and theme. "Who's that for?" Raina Jo asked. Adeline's face filled with color, and Reina Jo felt her stomach clench in unease.
Is that for the man who came in last week?
Dan or Dean, what was his name?
As a matter of fact, it is.
Dale, she stressed, has returned a time or two since and asked if I would handle his account personally.
Oh, Adeline. Is that wise?
He flirted awfully hard with you.
Adeline's color increased still more, and she lifted her perfectly manicured left hand and the wide gold band she wore.
He's well aware I'm married.
That certainly didn't seem to stop him, Reina Jo murmured, unable to keep the note of disapproval from her tone.
Why should it?
Flirting means nothing.
Flirting eventually leads to more, Reina Jo said.
Addie.
Don't Addie me.
It's fine.
You're overreacting and worrying about nothing.
What's the harm in a few smiles and winks?
The harm is that you're a married woman, and he isn't your husband.
So we've established.
Ray Ray, stop being so naive.
It's totally innocent.
Besides, I can't say as I mind getting a few compliments.
Hugh's as flirtatious as a rock on the bottom of the ocean.
I don't know that he's even paid me a compliment these past 10 years.
Hugh is a gem, Reina Jo argued.
Maybe he's not as outgoing and romantic as you'd like, but he's a good solid man who worships the ground you walk on.
Don't take that for granted.
Adeline pursed her lips and shot Reina Jo a look from beneath her lashes.
I'm not.
You are. You're playing with fire and think no one will get burned.
I'm adding spice to a pot that hasn't simmered in a long, long time.
Do you think Richard goes on all his business trips and never turns his head when a pretty woman walks by?
No, she was sure her husband did turn his head.
And a lot more.
But it didn't make it right.
Nor did it make the awareness of his actions and behavior hurt any less.
What's innocent to you might not be considered innocent to what's his name.
Dale.
And you worry entirely too much, Adeline said, pinning the last of the navy and white striped fabric to the board.
There.
What do you think?
The board was as gorgeous as they always were when Adeline prepped them. She had a keen decorating eye and used fabrics and textures some might not think would work together. The board she'd created made for a unique and fabulously understated nautical look well suited for a rich bachelor in a beach town.
When is his appointment?
She'd hoped to get home early tonight because, unlike her sister, she felt her age. Plus, she liked to look her best when Richard returned from one of his trips, and if she could squeeze in a nap, the beauty sleep couldn't hurt.
I'm meeting Dale at his house, Adeline said, avoiding Reina Jo's gaze.
Speaking of which, I'd better get a move on or I'll be late.
I'll come with you, Reina Jo said.
We've been slow all day today.
It wouldn't hurt to close up a bit early.
No need, Adeline said, picking up the board after getting her purse from small storage area behind the cash register.
Go home. I'll see you tomorrow.
Reina Jo watched as Adeline hurried out the door, heart heavy with the danger ahead for her sister. Maybe Addie could stay strong in the face of the client's flirting, but why take the risk? Why put herself in the position to teeter on a line that shouldn't be crossed? How would Hubert feel if he knew? If Adeline was so unhappy with her marriage, why not go to counseling? Do whatever she could to get the spark back?
Anything but seek attention elsewhere.
Reina Jo left the checkout area and moved through the empty design and decor store, watching as Adeline loaded the board into the back of her Range Rover and shot out of the parking lot. Adeline's comment about Richard's behavior on his business trips had struck a chord, and now she couldn't shake the dark thoughts or the pain Adeline had inadvertently caused. She knew very well what took place while her husband was away. Every now and again, she'd see Richard's receipts.
Dinner for two.
Drinks. Charges from female clothing stores,
lingerie stores that never ended up as gifts for her, orders for flowers she didn't receive, room service for two. Funny how some men could be so charming and romantic before marriage, but afterwards, the only women they romanced were the ones who didn't wear their ring. Her stomach knotted, as it always did when she thought of her 42-year marriage. By all accounts, she and Richard had it all. A big, gorgeous house facing the Atlantic, two beautiful twin daughters, each successful in her own right. Nice cars. Great friends. But peel back the layers, and for the last 20 years, it had all been a sham. She hated the deception of it. Hated that they played the part of the happy couple because, well, for her, it was simply easier than facing the truth and starting over. And for Richard, though they'd never truly discussed it, she believed he liked the convenience of having his cake and eating it too. She was well aware that for men like Richard, it was safer to have a wife. After all, it kept pesky mistresses in their place, and the relationship between them exactly what it was, physical. Still, it wasn't like she hadn't ever considered putting an end to the shenanigans. But then what? She was 63. Her life almost over. It was far too late to find her happily ever after.